WJFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Folks, let's get right to it. A Jew, a Christian, and a Muslim walk into a bar. The Jew says to the Muslim, "See, I have no idea what they say because there's a writer's strike. We don't know what they say."
Oh, that's funny, Jay. No writers, you know, for Jay.
You can tell, huh?
The Don and Mike Show.
Broadcasting from a zone of fecality, Don and Mike.
I'm looking at the clock here. It's...
I was going to say, you can always turn on the other channel and watch Santa Claus.
5:42. More music time. We're never going to get Rob's entire vasectomy in today.
You mean the procedure?
The story.
Yes, we are actually performing a live vasectomy on the air.
So make sure you tune in tomorrow at the beginning of the show, 3 o'clock East Coast, 12 noon on the West Coast. We'll talk all about Rob's vasectomy. We'll talk about his, you're going to killing his wife here, and then we got to get news and comments. Because once the vasectomy thing hits the fan, so to speak.
Yes.
Vasectomies are stories that require participation, too. And I think the audience has demonstrated a real propensity for wanting to get involved in this.
And once again, you and I have shown our lack of discipline that really, I think neither you nor I had an exceptional vacation worth chatting about for 3 hours. We both came in it with the thought today.
I thought yours was.
Well, as always. I'm kidding, 100%. Isn't it funny that we both came in with the thought, said, Rob really is the lead story today.
Rob had to be the lead story because we know that people are so interested in his medical procedure.
Yes. Yeah. And now, because neither you nor I could wait, we've almost run out of showtime for Rob's vasectomy.
Well, that's the way it should be.
That's just too bad, isn't it?
That is too bad.
That's why it's...
That's a damn shame, isn't it?
Sure is.
Right.
Feel bad for me, feel bad for the listener.
That's right.
Sad, really. Tragic.
Feel bad for Wonka.
It's a costume.
A fortune in fudge.
Tomorrow we will have an in-depth, no-holds-barred discussion of everything that happened, and we'll be able to take phone calls, et cetera.
Nothing cut out.
Hopefully.
Phones are screwed up today.
Hopefully.
I didn't tell you one thing funny, awkward. Maybe you've been through this, Mike, with Carla. On Christmas morning, the big gift that I got Janet was a pair of earrings, and it was the very last gift. It was one of those deals where everything had been opened up already.
Right.
And I said,
right.
Oh, hey. You're like a Christmas story.
One more.
What is this over here?
Hey, there might be a little something behind the couch over there, Buster Brown.
And the box is the same size that another important gift might come in.
Yes.
Now.
Oh.
Small.
You can imagine as we're sitting around, the
jewelry box.
The three of us. And Bart looks at me and looks at the box. He goes, gives me like a look. And I give him a look like, no, not
so
yet.
So you hipped him to it.
Not yet, no.
You hipped him by looking at him
and
said, no.
And Janet gets the box. And right away, she starts to cry.
Sure.
And boy, am I smooth. It's Christmas morning.
Do you think she started to cry because she...
She thought. And I looked at both of them and I said, that's not what it is.
Good. You have to do the preemptive strike at that point.
Yeah.
I said to both of them, I said, first off, I said to Bart.
I could have told you this a long time ago. Always put the earrings in a bracelet box.
I said to Bart, I would, I'll discuss it with you.
His earring box is a ring box.
When the time comes and Jenna knows what our schedule is, we're going to get married. We'll do it, with our own good time. Anyway, it was a nice, awkward moment, and I forgot to tell you that he looked at me like, is this it, Dad? And she looked like, you are so... And as soon as I saw the tears, I stood up and I said, whoa, you're both wrong. I wouldn't handle it like this. I wouldn't spring it on you.
That's good to jump up and say that.
As a surprise.
You have to.
Carrie cried Christmas morning, too.
That's her routine Christmas cry, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it was, when the tree was thrown.
Through the window. I think of you every time I see that commercial. I don't know what it's for, typically, like a commercial you don't remember what the sponsor is.
Right.
Where he throws the Christmas tree through the window.
Well, we have an artificial tree. I just take off the top half and I start swinging it.
And I think part of the reason that Bart thought that maybe something would happen, it's in the air. One of his best friend's dad pulled a move at a Christmas party. And I wondered why Bart was saying to me, hey, this guy really wants you to come over to the Christmas party. He's a friend of mine,
right?
But not a close friend. But kept saying, he knows that you're busy, but if you can make it, show up. Well, we weren't able to make it, and Bart told me the next day that he surprised everybody. It was a surprise wedding.
Oh.
A surprise wedding.
That's a real big deal.
Yeah.
Wow. So I think he thought maybe the same was happening, and I said, you know, not this year.
You know, if you're ever invited to something like that, I'm not sure whether you really have to be in the mood to be, because when you do something like that, you have to take into account people might not really be wanting to stay that long at the party and stuff like that.
They might
and
not
once
care.
You get there, it's like it's a real commitment, right?
Yeah, and Bart's issue was his wardrobe.
Yeah.
That he arrived thinking it was
a casual party.
A Christmas holiday party, and all of a sudden all these cats showed up in monkey suits.
So a lot of guys had the heads up.
Yeah,
right?
Well, the family members did.
And what was he wearing for his holiday garb? Was he dressed like Matt the Pollock?
He had on, my son has just a closet full of clothing that I wish he would not wear.
Right, I know. He's always tried to make a statement with his clothes.
Right. And now his thing now is he's halfway, it's either Kanye West, he dresses like Kanye West.
Like a sweater with a tie and stuff
bad,
like that.
Yeah. That's very bad.
Why, because Kanye West is a different color?
I just like him to be himself. Don't dress like somebody
nice
else.
To see you've turned over a new leaf for 2008, Rob.
Be
I'm very,
yourself.
Very, very happy.
And the other shirt that he absolutely demanded wearing at all times, it's a shirt made for a woman. I know you've seen these at the beach. It's a pullover top for a woman that has a woman's body and women's top and bottom on it.
So oh, you mean like the bikini T-shirt?
Yeah.
Ah. Like that women wear like at the
as a
fat
cover
women
up.
Wear to look like they have bikini body, yeah, but as a joke to say, hey, we're fat, but we're wearing the T-shirt.
Right, that's what he was wearing.
Oh my God,
he was wearing that T-shirt.
Wow,
and I think like maybe like his Brad Pitt driver's cap.
Wow,
I think he wore that to my house. He showed up in a cap.
Yeah. Anyway, that was an awkward, funny moment at my house because I do remember standing up. You know, whoa, no, not happening.
Right,
no, not now, not now. Then I realized I'm the only one standing and agitated.
After that, did she like the gift at least?
Oh, she loved it.
Good.
Okay. That's really what matters.
You're off the hook.
She loved it. Now you.
Yes.
If we don't talk about your vasectomy,
right.
Let's do talk about your New Year's Eve.
Okay, it's actually New Year's Day.
New Year's Day. My apologies.
We had a New Year's Eve, and I was up until about 2, and I had a lot of beer and a little champagne. Not enough that I was impaired the next day,
right.
But compromised.
What time did you rally?
I think I was up at about 8:30.
Okay, all right.
Well, pretty with good. Kids, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, you have no choice.
So I was doing the best I could, and we're at my dad's beach place, which is in a gated community.
Okay,
and
you're in full recovery, though, right? You're at this point in
yeah,
time, right?
I'm eating, everything is fine.
You're okay, all right.
Yeah, and one of the coolest things that the kids love at my dad's place is he has a golf cart, or as we call it, golf machine. And so we were invited that morning to the next-door neighbor's cottage for Black Eyed Peas, which is a Southern tradition.
Oh,
it's
big
good
time.
Luck.
Yeah, sure. Right.
And so we all go over there, and there's maybe like 10 people in the place.
They have greens, too?
No, they have Black Eyed Peas and ham beans.
Okay, gotcha.
So we go in there, and there's not much for the kids to do in a cottage.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're just sitting there, and we're making nice small talk.
Well, they could have an industry.
They could. They could have cheese.
Yeah.
So
I kind of won with cottage industry.
Yeah, you did. But what am I going to do, just let it lay? I had to try. Mm-hmm. So we...
Fries.
Cottage fries?
Yeah, yeah. There are cottage fries on menus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
are they really?
Cottage fries, but it's terribly weak after industry. And
even
cheese.
Next to cheese, yeah. All right, so...
Moving on.
So I say to the kids, how about...
Cottage cheese ass.
Oh,
you say that a lot of times, right?
That's a cellulite reference.
Right, cottage cheese
it's
ass.
Pretty good right there. You might be at the end of it there.
King of the cottages, I think.
I think that was a two-punch victory with cheese ass and industry.
Gotcha.
Yeah, that's it. I'm out.
So the kids were bored, and I said, how about a golf cart ride? And they said, actually, I think I just said it to Robert. And he said, that'd be fun. And he says to Julia, how about a golf cart ride? And I said, okay. Mm-hmm. And Carrie, who is into her third mimosa, says, I'd like to come too.
On New Year's Day, no
yeah,
less.
Yeah.
Okay.
She had less of a night the night before, so all she's right. going. So what I should say about the F Me boots is they're very attractive on Carrie, and I say it with nothing but high praise, but they've got about a nice, thick 2-inch heel.
Okay.
And she looks great in them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go out to the golf cart, and it's me and Julia in the front seat. And the back seat, it was a course golf cart that's been altered so that the back seat faces back.
Gotcha. I've seen those before. You see those like, you know, at big hotel resorts
right.
where people are transported from one place to another.
Disney World has them all over the place.
Yeah, they got
right.
them all over. They face the back. Right?
So we're flying around, and I'm, you know, I think, you know, why even care? It's a gated community. Everyone who's in the community is in Johnny's house.
Right.
So I don't need to worry about anything. One of the things Robert likes to do is go looking for Doc Ock, game we play.
Okay.
So we go up to where the lot where Doc Ock lives, and we try to look for him. And we don't find Doc Ock, and I'm getting bored. And maybe at this point...
Well, just so you know, Doc Ock, Spider-Man character.
No, I villain understand. In Spider-Man.
They're just playing.
Does
they're
he live
playing
at the beach?
Game.
Oh, okay.
They're yeah, just we're just playing. We're playing a game.
Well, you shouldn't be filling your boy's head with all those fantasies.
I didn't build this one.
Okay.
So we pull into the driveway. There's no house built on this lot. There's just like a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, well, no, Doc Ock, let's get out of here. And I kick it in reverse, and I'm thinking there's no reason to look out for anything. So I floor it, and I'm in reverse. And then Carrie says, Rob. And by this time, I realize that there's no cars, but there is a ditch on either side of the driveway.
Oh.
Now, I stop in time that the golf cart is at about a 45-degree angle.
Mm-hmm.
Robert has fallen, gotten up. He bumped his head.
Oh,
he's
dear.
Crying.
So we have injury.
Yeah. What I'm pretty sure of at this point is that I've broken his arm because it
really?
Was that panicked cry. And so,
well, hold on a second. You're backing up, and back up into a ditch. You slam the brakes
when
on.
I stopped short.
Let's don't low pedal it. You hurtled your son out of the golf cart.
I did, but wait,
and his wife.
Wait, it gets better.
Oh, your wife went airborne too.
I hit the brake. I locked the pedal. You know the emergency brake, so the wheels lock up.
Right.
And safety first.
I jump out, and I get Robert, and I'm holding him in my arms. And I look, and
is he sobbing?
Yes, but he's not. I feel his arms. He's not like screaming.
He's breathing.
He's not breathing.
He's not
crying.
Broken.
He ain't
There's
broke.
No blood.
He ain't broke.
All right.
His mouth is not bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
At this time, I look. Carrie is still falling.
Oh, really?
She's waving her arms around.
Tumbling.
And what happened is the F me heel has gotten hooked into the golf cart.
Sure.
And in an effort to correct herself, she's not just letting herself go. So she's really. Like she's waving in a
plane.
She's
flopping like a bass out of water.
She is, and she can't quite fall.
Where's lovely little Julia at
this
point?
This is just not funny.
No, it's not. At the time, it was really not funny.
Is your daughter okay?
I've got her out of the golf cart and standing safely in the road.
Is she crying?
That is so true, Dick.
No, she's not crying.
All right.
But she's very quiet.
Right.
Because there's a lot of stuff going on.
So let me just see if I've got this right.
Yeah.
You have this halfway 45-degree angle.
Yeah.
Significant tilted angle into the ditch. Your wife has hooked onto the back of the golf cart, and she's flopping there.
Right, and trying not to fall, but she probably should just fall. I've got Robert in my arms. They probably wouldn't have fallen out of the golf cart if I hadn't hit the brakes so hard.
Okay.
So Carrie finally falls and is now laying in the ditch.
Is there mud?
There's some mud. There's some leaves, there are pine needles, and she's just laying flat on the ground, as you do after three drinks.
Is she laughing?
No.
No.
She is not laughing.
Oh, she's upset.
So what do I do is I rush to get the golf cart out of the ditch.
Oh, no.
Why go to your family?
So, no, Robert's okay.
I know. I mean, well, your wife...
Wait, you don't... Wait,
your wife is part of your family.
You don't tend to your wife who's on the ground first?
Well, at this point, I see my dad coming.
Oh,
his
okay.
golf cart. And so I say,
so it's like his property you
right.
don't appear to have damaged.
So the gear shift
right.
is down.
Carrie can lay.
She can wait.
Bleeding.
She can wait. Perhaps not breathing down in the ditch.
In the ditch, but
I'm pretty sure she was breathing.
Here comes Bob. We better get Dad.
I want to get my dad's golf cart out of trouble.
So I take the transmission. I put it into forward, and I give the pedal a little bump, and it goes right back up on the road surface. Everything's fine. My dad comes over. Now Carrie is now. I look down, and she says. I can't find my champagne glass.
Well, of course
well, you
not.
Know she's all right then.
And I say, okay, so you stay in the ditch. And my father and I have a thing with each other is when we're upset, our voices go up higher. Same thing with my Uncle Pete. And
right.
he's, what's going on? And he said the first thing I said was, golf cart's fine.
The golf cart's fine.
You
my wife has dislocated her hip. But the golf cart is 100%.
So I knew Julia was fine because she had stayed in the cart with me. I checked Robert all his extremities. He's not bleeding. He has no broken bones. He really just was thrown out, took a little tumble, and never hit his head or anything.
You know, you say he just was thrown out. I've been in many golf carts.
Right.
I golf more than any of you guys. I know what it takes
Rob told me
to
Robert,
hurdle someone out of a golf cart.
Right, he said right. Robert was mad at you, right?
Very mad. And he stayed mad for about a day.
Wow. Oh, did he really?
Yeah. And the problem is not so much... the speed of the golf cart. It was the locking of the brakes and the tilt.
Yeah, because they can really do a
perfect next storm.
They can do perfect storm. They can do a neck snapping type of thing.
So I helped carry up. My father, he was, you know, level headed, and he said, "The golf cart, that's great that it's good, but is everybody okay?" Mm-hmm. And I said, "Carrie, are you okay?"
Yeah, your father had the right priorities in line.
Right. Well, you know, he's a little older
than
me. Is
that the first words out of your mouth were the golf cart
the
is
golf
fine?
The golf cart is fine.
Daddy.
So she finds her champagne glass.
I don't want to break my father's toy.
And so we get her out of the ditch.
I can't possibly break my daddy's toy.
Brush her off. Get back in the golf cart.
Did Robert, was he nervous about going in the golf cart with you
anymore?
No,
he just pissed.
Okay.
Just mad. Just mad at his dad.
You know, he was pissed that way when he fell down the steps when he slipped out
what
of the
what time of the day would this have been?
It was about noonish.
Is there any chance that
I was compromised?
No, let me just say this. I mean, with the golf cart, you had been to the party. Had you enjoyed a mimosa as well?
No.
Really?
But no. I think there
See,
was...
See, you're no fun.
I think there was fatigue.
Right.
And in retrospect, if I had been totally with it,
well, you know
I wouldn't
what they
have
say.
Gunned it and backed up.
Well, they say with a motorcycle that sometimes you got to be careful with a hangover on a motorcycle, too.
Right.
Like the next day could be bad. You still got some of those little alcohol swimmers in your bloodstream.
I stepped outside. I think one of the reasons it was warm in the cottage. Right. So maybe I wasn't as good of a shape as I thought I might have been.
But, Rob, as your attorney, the reason the family went flying out of the golf cart is because you hit the brakes so hard, right?
Exactly.
And why did you hit the brakes so hard?
Safety first. Stop rolling into the ditch.
No, you weren't paying attention.
Something happened just before that made you slam on the brakes. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, I was driving into a ditch, Buzz.
That's it.
Your wife was screaming at you.
No. She didn't scream until she started falling.
I see.
I appreciate the help, but there's really no way to correct this.
I thought perhaps she induced the panic that caused the brakes that caused the family.
She's been inducing panic for 10 years.
No, I think what caused it is he was driving the golf cart with his whole family on it loaded.
I think I was,
you were bummed from the night before.
And so I get back into the cottage, and what happens is the cottage has got like a wall that's all windows that faces the place where we say Doc Ock lives.
Mm-hmm.
And so where this would have been fine if this had been done in secret, I could have just hushed Robert up and everything.
So everybody saw the tragedy?
Like on a big screen, like in VistaVision.
So when you walked back into the cottage, did all the women like rush to the aid of the children? Are
of
you
course,
all right,
of
sweetheart?
Course. And then the neighbor Johnny, who is the greatest guy in the world, says, you need golf course 101, golf cart 101. I saw you throw that in there, and you pulled that cart right out of there. You were nervous, right? You were scared, but you were strong. You got it out of there. I didn't believe it. You need golf cart 101. And the thing that's going through my head right now
is that you want to knock him on his ass?
No, because it's not that. It's that as bad as I look right now, when this story has time to set and gel and gets told again,
he's right.
4th of July weekend
and
next Christmas and every time all the families come together,
mm-hmm.
the golf cart will be in flames. It will have turned over four times, and Robert will have lost an arm. It's going to get worse and worse every time it
goes. Is that the reason you're kind of low-keying the tragic story right now?
There was no tragedy.
Now, see, I heard the true story. And
please, John, fill me in on what the real... Because I know he is soft-pedaling.
It took him 15 seconds to tell me the true story. He said, you would have loved it. We're up at my dad's place. I was racing around in the golf cart. I went, and boom, Robert fell out, and then Carrie had her F me shoe, and boy, she fell down the hill, down the hill, down the hill, down the hill. And Robert was really mad at me, and everybody watched me. And the great thing is, next year, Robert will be on fire, and Carrie's leg will have fallen off.
There it is.
That's how I heard the
Happy
story.
Happy New Year.
So that's what happened.
Happy
that's
2008.
How you, that's how you bring a weight in. You throw your wife into a ditch. She was face up.
Well, no, I think you really, you didn't even realize what you did there when you told that story. You really crystallized what Don has been saying about you for most of your life and what has been demonstrated on the show.
Magnificent driver?
No, your priorities.
Uh-huh.
It couldn't be any more clear. The golf cart is fine.
Daddy's golf machine.
Daddy's golf machine, priority number one. No, I will give you this. Your son, you grabbed him.
First priority number one.
But
and I picture you like Superman lifting up the car. I picture you holding Robert in one hand.
Mm-hmm.
Julia's there. You're lifting up the golf cart.
And in his brain, what's going through his mind right there,
I must save this golf cart.
The only thing that your mind is just not focusing on is Carrie.
Right.
She'll be fine.
Who's laying there in the ditch?
You know, you're not far from the truth.
I think we all know what word ditch rhymes with. She's laying there with her F me boot on.
That's right. I must get the wheels out of the mud before the cart is damaged.
Today!
She never.
Today!
And my father showed up in our matching outfits. We looked like the Buxtons in Pee Wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah. You have matching jumpsuits?
Yeah, we do.
The Buxtons. I hope a lot of people know that one because that is a good reference right there.
But Jesus H. Christ, right?
Matching jumpsuits
fine.
With the brass buckle on the
exactly.
front of them.
Exactly, and a little insignia, the Spiewak family crest.
You'll be sorry, P.B. Herman.
You'll be sorry, Robert Spiewak.
Don't even get me. You know, tomorrow when we talk about his vasectomy. Mm-hmm.
The big V.
We'll talk about the palace that he lives in.
Ah.
Because Rob has done all this talking, all this poor mouth talking with us about, oh, poor Rob had to move, poor Rob. You've not been to his place, have you? His
no,
place?
I have not been out
well,
to
Mike
his
and
new
I are
joint.
More acquaintances than friends, so we don't spend a lot of time together.
Let me just say.
But you invited me over.
I was yes. I really
for,
wish you
for
could
Christmas
have been there.
Eve, yeah, and I appreciate
everybody.
That.
So
besides the fact that he has a really nice big house, mm-hmm. when you go downstairs to his basement, to his cave area, you are so goddamn anal. He has a giant walk-in closet, and inside, I am not kidding you, thousands of DVDs alphabetically organized, right. and he says...
I've got, you know, I'd actually like to see that.
You should come
I
out.
Really,
you really
I
should.
Will do that.
It is a closet. It's a long closet.
It's under the steps. You know how they usually try to put a closet
and
under
when
the
you were
steps?
Looking at the house, I'm sure this was a selling, but you
Absolutely.
You envisioned that as soon as you
Knew
saw
it. Right,
right
away. I said, right. I put so, shelves right there.
He's got, like, the label maker, and everything is alphabetically, of course, first, like, Abbott and Costello, and he's saying, Robert and Julia... Nowhere to find stuff, nowhere to put stuff back.
Right.
And then I look on his back wall where he has his thousands of CDs, all of them also alphabetically ordered.
Right. The anal retentive collector.
Yeah, well, Julia can do it. She can alphabetize stuff now because she's known how to all along.
That's
in that
cool.
gigantic closet, how many DVDs do you think are in that?
I can only tell you by feet. It's 6 shelves of 8 feet, so 48 feet.
Wow.
Oh, God. It's really, it's like a bomb shelter.
That's incredible.
It's
like,
fantastic.
So Janet is standing in there on Christmas Eve. Rob had left the room, and I think it was Julia, your daughter,
right.
and Janet and I were standing in there, and Janet said something like, who could possibly watch all of this? And your daughter, with a straight face, looked right at Janet and said, my dad can.
Of course he can. Now, for example, the movie we were talking about before, The Contender.
Right.
How would you alphabetize that?
C.
Right.
Contender.
Contender. Right.
You drop the.
Always. Okay.
Right. Now, the only thing that sort of trips you up is if it's like a theme box set.
Yeah, right. What do you do with those?
I go with the title of the box set. Like if it's Sergio Leone movies, that goes under L for Sergio Leone.
Who is Sergio Leone?
He did all the spaghetti westerns with the...
Good, the Bad, and the Ugly?
Right, yeah, those. Yeah.
Okay.
Like the Thin Man movies all go under T.
Exactly.
That's Entertainment. Well, they're all called That's Entertainment, so it might make any difference. I'm trying to think of the box sets that I have.
Well, see, you're screwing me up here because you
Marx
got...
Marx Brothers movies all go under M for Marx.
For Marx.
Right.
Abbott and Costello are all under A for Abbott.
They're collections.
Right.
So...
Oh, for collections.
Right.
Right.
But see, you have one... collection that's listed under a director and another that's listed under title.
You have to find the theme of the box set.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right.
All right.
And his kids have figured this out as well.
I understand that.
Thank you.
I'm very happy that I do. I understand what you're saying.
Now, Don and I argue for years about how to alphabetize music, so don't let's even go there.
You know, Don,
listen, the first thing I did, I'm in Robbie's house. I go, wow, beautiful. Rob, Springsteen is under S. It's not under B for Bruce.
Well, the CDs
are
out.
You have it under Bruce?
Yeah, no, yeah. It's under S for Springsteen. I do my CDs different than I do iTunes.
Oh.
And different than the music
was
we do here.
Was the iTunes? I don't know. Whatever
in
it
his
was,
house,
it was mixed up.
Where was the room that's dedicated to us? Was there? Where was the shrine? Where was the shrine located?
Just off the bedroom.
No one who goes there.
Did he have
comes
the?
Out.
Does he still have the same thing that he had in his old house where it's your picture, my picture, and then the little incense in front of it?
Candles.
It's your picture and Don's picture with arrows pointing to me.
Very good. Very clever, boys.
And Buzz's funny. Pictures and lights in the front of the house. It's my Christmas decoration.
That's
this
the
year.
Other thing. We're pulling up, and Jan is like, which house is it? I said, Jan, just look for Clark Griswold's house. Seriously, for a guy with a townhouse, you must have thousands of light bulbs outside.
Quite a few lights outside, but also I had the big tree in the front window.
Cool.
Which adds to it, too. Nice. And then the candles, and of course the moving reindeer.
Well, this is your digs. This is really yours,
yeah.
And
yeah.
This is the first time in your life you've had that.
Yeah, it's cool. And that was the neatest thing, is that's really the first time we've had a Christmas in our house.
Yeah.
Cool.
Because we lived for so many years at Big Daddy's house, and it was an excellent Christmas.
You know the only thing you missed out on?
What's that?
Sperm.
Well... That's true.
Oh, well.
I haven't done all the laundry since before the procedure, though. Maybe I can go home and scrape me a couple.
Some people hang the mistletoe. Rob hangs his spaghetti in the hallway.
Now he just dreams of a white Christmas.
I'm the oldest man in the world.
Who's that standing under the spaghetti?
Oh, you.
How you doing over there, Buzz?
I'm all right.
And that's it, folks.
Oh, no, that's not it.
Hi, everybody. This is the news.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.